blessed Jesus, hold my hand. Let me travel in the light divine that I may see the blessed way. Teach me that I may be wholly thine and sing redemption's song someday. I will be a soldier brave and true and ever firmly take my stand as I onward go and daily meet the foe. Blessed Jesus, hold my hand. Jesus, hold my hand. I need thee every hour. Through this pilgrim land, protect me by thy power. Hear my feeble plea. Oh Lord, dear Lord, look down on me when I kneel. Jesus, hold my hand. When I kneel in prayer, I hope to meet you there. Blessed Jesus, hold my hand.
For those of you who are watching the Americans doing a debate, keeping you a little up to date of what's going on, they had one on Friday. And it's nice to turn to CNN and have them admit that Donald Trump won the debate, even though he wasn't even on stage. How is that? If CNN tells you that Donald Trump won the debate, even though he wasn't on stage, there's a good chance he's going to win the election, right? Hallelujah. Especially if you got a socialist who wants to take everybody's money, why doesn't that guy go live in a Hutterite colony? He'll find out what socialism is. It's easy. You just give whatever you have to one guy and they give out what they deem is right. And that's what they want to do. And God doesn't agree with that. He made you an individual. You earn your own money. And if you don't earn your own money, what does the Bible say? He that doesn't work doesn't eat. Very harsh, but very true. And socialism wants to feed those who don't work just to show love. Huh. You show them the way to hell is what you're doing if you're doing that. So God wants us to understand, as we'll get closer to the end, the one world government, this one world socialist system, will be run by one person and he will call the shots. And it's going to be interesting whose helpers are going to be. And we are seeing these things progress as we get closer and closer to the end. The Holy Spirit got me into a message that you have to pay close attention how the beginning of creation in the first 1,000 years up to the flood basically explains what will happen and how things will happen in the end. God has some very interesting things to reveal if we take time to look for them. Because if you don't know anything about the end time, you don't understand the signs of the times, you don't know what God's ideas are, you have no idea what's on the agenda, so you basically walk in limbo, praising God. That's good. But God wants you to know. He wants you to know what's on ahead. And He has left us a book that explains things. And the strangest thing is that Daniel, he asked God, I want to understand that. And God said to Daniel, no. You go to your place. The people that see these things, they're going to understand. And up till that time, this book is closed. Nobody will understand. And we're starting to understand more and more. And as these things come out, it kind of raises your hair a bit. Because the things you've been wondering about, you're starting to understand and you're starting to see as truth. And they're not very pretty. God wants us to see that. But at the same time, He wants us to understand that He is in control. I once asked God an interesting question. I said, Lord, when I watch the news, there's nothing but chaos and destruction. When I read the Bible, there's nothing but chaos and destruction. And I opened my Bible to the book of Psalms, and there's a scripture that stared out on me. Nevertheless, I hold on to your hand. Ever seen that one? And I said, thank you, Jesus. Without that, I don't think I could survive. Isn't that the truth? So today, before we get into this message, let's rise and ask the Lord for blessing. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your grace, for your mercy, for your word. You will help us to understand. You will help us to see so that we can show those around us of what the signs of the times are. I thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. The Bible teaches us that in the last days there will be many, many false prophets. And it's not necessarily talking about false prophets as far as Christianity is concerned. Do you want to know my take on false prophets when it comes to Christianity? A false prophet can't touch a Christian because the Christian knows what the truth is. So what good is a false prophet? Nobody's going to listen to him. So what's a false prophet for? He's to lead people astray who don't know the truth. And let me tell you, when you watch the young people who don't know the truth, the way they operate, you don't know what to do, laugh or cry. I mean, they're so incredibly close-minded and brainwashed. So God wants us to see that we have been chosen to bring the truth to those who don't know, if they will listen. So I will start out by a simple message from Genesis chapter 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. A very simple little message. But what has the world done to most of the people? In the beginning, there was a loud bang. And somewhere in that loud bang, matter appeared. And somehow that matter became this and that and that, and here I am, a wonderful creature, so marvelously and wonderfully evolved. That's not how it works. The Bible teaches in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth. And then you read on further, you will clearly see what happened. But it takes a little bit of a twist, which I never could understand why God would so point at certain things, and you get a little irritated when you read it, and I'll read a scripture to you. Genesis chapter 1, verse 11. And God said, let the earth bring forth grass, herb yielding seed, and the fruit tree yielding fruit after his kind, whose seed is in itself upon the earth. And it was so. And the earth brought forth grass and herb and yielded seed after his kind. And the tree yielding fruit whose seed was in itself after his kind. And God saw that it was good. Did you notice the his kind? It may seem just like a word in there. But when you really study it, God is trying to show us something with his kind. It means I've created it that way, and I saw that it was good, and I want you to leave it that way. That's the message God is giving us here. It should produce seed from his kind and not from another kind. Now listen to this in Leviticus chapter 19, in verse 19. You shall keep my statutes. Thou shalt not let thy cattle gender with a diverse kind. What does that mean? Mixing seed. Thou shalt not sow thy field with mingled seed. I used to wonder, what's the difference? Grow a corn and the wheat together, you got both of them in one. But mingled seed, it says you shall not sow thy seed, thy field with mingled seed. The seed is mingled already. What does mingled seed mean? We have it all over the world today. When you eat bread, everybody's gluten intolerant. Regardless where you go, oh, I can't take any gluten, can't eat any bread. What happened? They mingled seed, and now they have made our food chain a death trap that poisons people regardless where you look. And then it says, neither shall a garment mingled of linen and woolen come upon thee. And that was a reminder to them. You don't wear these clothes, so you are reminded of not doing these things. Are they mingling seed today? Very interesting. We all know the GMO crisis. We all know the food they produce. They brought 50 bushel barley up to 160 bushel barley. Something's wrong. You don't do that with ordinary seed. You gotta manipulate it. You gotta mingle it for it to do that. Hybrids. Do you remember when the Israelis walked into the land of Canaan? And they came out and said, oh, those guys, we are as small as grasshoppers in their sight. And they weren't just saying these things. They meant it. They were only this high compared to the 40-meter tall people that were there, 40-foot tall people. Am I telling the truth? Of course I am. Go into the Word and you'll see it. They brought out a cluster of grapes. What, a human being only has a small hand, right? Mine is an average size, maybe a little smaller than average size. And when I grab a cluster of grapes, it's meant for me. It was created for me so I can take it and handle it with ease. Those guys brought out a cluster of grapes. Were how big? They had to carry it between two people. Very, very interesting. And the Israelis were so amazed that they named the place where they were after that cluster of grapes. So it says you shall not gender your seeds, your fruits and vegetables. Now, how about animals? I was watching Chuck Missler yesterday. How many of you know that guy? If you want to know what's going on in the world, he's gone to be with the Lord. Listen to him. He explains a lot of stuff, how it's done and how it works. He says they already have pigs with human blood. Pigs are operating with their living with human blood. He says sheep have human hearts. That's interesting. Mice with human brain cells. So if you look like a mouse, you may be one of those hybrids. So it's interesting how we're starting to see these incredible things happening right in front of our eyes. Why? It is because it was prophesied in the Word of God. So God says, don't do these things. Now let me go on a little further in Genesis chapter 1. This is where it really becomes interesting in verse 26. And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, And let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps upon the earth. So God created man in his own image, after his kind. Isn't that interesting? We are God's kind. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. So females, you're included. You're also God's kind. When you watch the Muslim nations, the women are not God's kind. Hopefully, none of their women are Allah's kind. Hopefully. And God says, let us create man in that image. And then sin came, and something took place. We were separated from God. And God said, I will straighten this one out yet. I will send somebody made in the image of who? The woman, made in the image of man, who will take care of that. Now, let's see. What did Satan do with that? In Genesis 6, chapter 1, he was out to destroy the seed of Adam, to mingle the seed of Adam. And it came to pass when men began to multiply on the face of the earth, and daughters were born unto them, that the sons of God, who are the sons of God? You go through any Bible, you go through any concordance, they are the Nephilim, the giants, the fallen angels. They saw the sons of God, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were fair. And they took them wives, all of which they chose. So they intermingled, they intermarried. Well, there is a big discrepancy about this. This is just the difference between Cain's line and Seth's line. So this doesn't hold any water, because all of a sudden the people who intermingled with these fallen angels, with the sons of God, something happened with their seed. What happened? They were not man-made seed. They were not the seed of man like Cain was, his offspring. There was something wrong. And there were giants in the earth in those days. And after that, when the sons of God came in unto the daughters of men, and they bare children to them, the same being mighty men which were of old, men of renown, giants, huge people, in with another name called Nephilim, fallen ones. They came in unto the daughters of men to do what? Satan had a plan. He was going to contaminate the seed of men so that Jesus would not be born. Did you ever wonder why God said to Abraham, let nobody from your people marry anybody outside. Keep to yourself in that family. The Israelis, the same thing. They had the same request or the same command. Don't marry anybody outside of your tribes. I need this line to stay clean. How many of you remember this guy? Don't read, he was building the temple when these priests were bringing their wives there. And then he said, you get rid of your wives and your children. Strange wives, he called them. The children and the wives had to leave. And where did they go? They went to Ashtaroth. That's their home place. You know where Ashtaroth is? It's by Gaza, the home place of Goliath. They were into this intermingling, and they had this seed with them. Now listen to this. In Genesis chapter 6 in verse 7. And the Lord said, I will destroy men whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast and creeping things and the fowls of the air. For it repents me that I made them. When is God going to close down this dispensation of time? Exactly like in the days of Noah. When they will start intermingling, interbreeding with the supernatural, God will say, this is far enough. I was listening to Chuck Missler yesterday. He said, you know what? The Nephilim will come back, and Daniel prophesies that. But he says, I also believe that the way technology goes, it's intermarrying with the human race that you will have. Yeah, humans involved in machine-like people. What do we see on TV all over the place? These, what are they called? These superhuman beings, Superman, Transformers. I don't watch a lot of it, so I don't know a lot about it. But you sometimes see them on TV, made of bionic compartments, but run by a human brain. Or should I say demonic brain? This is coming to this world. If it's not here already, I believe it's here already, or else they wouldn't talk about it. We are the generation that's seeing this on TV right in front of our eyes. And God is saying, the people that will understand that, it'll be open to them, and they will see with their own eyes what I'm talking about. Does this make sense to you? I'm sure it does. It's in Scripture. I'm reading. They're intermingling. They are trying to sabotage the plan of God, but it's not going to work. God is in control. Yes, a lot of people will get mighty scared, but those who know the plan of God, those who know what's supposed to happen, they will be able to hold their heads high and say, I know why this is. I know what's going to happen. And the only way you have protection from this is through the blood of Jesus. Hallelujah. Yesterday I heard somebody say, there's only two ways into the kingdom of God, into heaven. And I all of a sudden got my ears up. I want to know about this one. The first one is live perfect, perfect, perfect all the way through your life. And then when you get to heaven, you'll say, God, move over. I made it just like you. I'm perfect. Or the other way, if you're not as perfect as that guy, you can come through the blood of Jesus by saying, Jesus, be merciful unto me, a sinner. That's the way I chose. That's the easy way. Hallelujah. Jesus. Yes, you can give him a hand. Jesus took my sin upon himself, and he opens my ears and my eyes to the truth of what's coming and what's happening. And when I look at it, I'm amazed at the pathetic religious organizations. When I see them, I can only say, oh my God, you have to open their eyes. They're looking at their pathetic upbringing, at their pathetic ways of trying to appease God with their clothes, with their head coverings, with whatever they're doing. They're trying to appease God to get into the kingdom. How pathetic when God is showing us this great and incredible system that is on the march. People just don't seem to care. They just don't seem to get it. So God wants to destroy the earth. What happened? He did destroy the earth. He brought a flood. But there's something happening here in Genesis chapter 6 in verse 8. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. These are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect in his generations. Very interesting. His generation was pure, was his spirit pure? No, his spirit had been contaminated by sin. But his bloodline was pure. It was perfect in his generation. And Noah walked with God. So Noah found one person yet alive that had the perfection that God wanted him to have. And by golly, he made it. He walked through the flood and came out the other side. Even though something happened on the other side of the flood, which I will teach on next week, which should bring us into an interesting situation. But Noah, for the time being, was perfect. And God was able to carry the perfect gene on the ark through his family right onto the other side of the flood. And that's where we come from. Hallelujah. Praise God. It's good. But in the end, something will happen. It's going to become furious. It's going to become sickening. It's going to become devilish that you and I don't even have any idea. The Bible teaches us that 7-year period of time will be so horrific that the world has never seen anything like it. And that's before the flood. Remember, that means also before the flood. It's never going to be like it again. So it never was like that, and it never will be again. Listen to this, Daniel chapter 2 and verse 42. As the toes of the feet, he's talking about that image that was brass, that was gold, that was iron, and that was clay and iron mixed together. We all know what it is. And as the toes of the feet were part of iron, part of clay, so the kingdom shall be partly strong and partly broken. Whereas thou sawest the iron mixed with miry clay, they shall mingle themselves with who? The seed of man. Who are the they? It can only mean one entity, and that's the demonic realm. The Bible teaches us that during the tribulation, the earth will open and the demonic realm will be poured out on this earth. It's going to be horrific. The Bible also teaches us that Satan himself will be brought down to earth. And they shall mingle themselves with mankind. They will again intermingle. The Bible teaches us, and when they do that, that's when closing time comes. That's when Jesus comes back. He says, if we don't come back, no flesh will be left, because they will be out to steal, they will be out to kill, and they will be out to destroy. And then he will gather those who are in the spirit realm, the demonic realm, and the governments of this world. He will gather them together and put them in a pit. Hallelujah. That's going to be an awesome day. We're going to come back riding on white horses. Would I want a black and white one? White horse is good enough for me. And we're going to watch all of this. It seems like a fairy tale, but we're going to see Jesus take these people or these entities or whatever they call themselves, demons or whatever. He's going to take them and say, guys, your time is finished. And he'll throw them into the pit. And those who follow them, the Lord will destroy with the brightness of his coming. The blood will flow to the horses' bridles. Unimaginable what's on ahead. Do we have to be afraid? No. Why? I'll tell you why. The Bible teaches us we shall not all die, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. The dead in Christ shall rise first, and we which are alive and remain shall be changed. Hallelujah. And then we shall be caught up to meet the Lord in the air. Thus shall we ever be with the Lord. And then all hell will break loose on this planet. I want to watch it from up there. Oh, you're just an escapist. You bet I am. I am an escapist. If you have some sickness or some disease, I like to escape that sickness and that disease. If you're in prison, I want to escape that prison. And I don't want to go through the horrors that Scripture is talking about. I enjoy being an escapist, especially I enjoy the one who's going to lead me in that escape. Who is it going to be? It's going to be my Lord Jesus Christ on that day. He'll say, Dave, hey, listen, it's time to boogie. Let's go. We're going to clean house, but let's go have a good meal first, a good celebration. It'll last about 7 years, and then we'll come back and clean house. Are you for this? And Dave Wallner will say, yes, I am. Let's go. So how do you like that? How do you like the end to this story? How do you like the end to this truth? That it's not only a story, it's going to happen. And we can be sure about it because it is written in God's Word. So don't be discouraged. Don't put your head in the sand. Let people know about this Jesus because that's the only antidote we got. But that's the only antidote we need. Hallelujah. Let the Lord open your heart to this and make you a blessing. Amen.
As I wake up with the morning of each day that passes by, and I listen to the sound upon my ear, I can't help but to keep a watch towards the eastern sky, and I wonder if the trumpet will be the next sound that I'll hear. What a beautiful day for the Lord to come again. What a beautiful day for Him to take His children home. How I long to see His face and to touch His nail-scarred hands. What a beautiful day for the Lord to come again. Oh, my earthly disappointments and my trials here below fade away when I remember His last words. He said He'd return and receive His children unto Him, and I'm longing to look upon the face of my Lord. What a beautiful day for the Lord to come again. What a beautiful day for Him to take His children.